Happy Thanksgiving week, Conference USA fans. Welcome into a special episode of CUSA Insider, the official podcast of Conference USA. I'm your host, Sarah Rudolph, alongside Josh Yonas here. We're bringing you a special Thanksgiving week episode on a Tuesday or Wednesday. I don't even know when we're actually going to post this, but hey, yeah, let's say Tuesday. And we are excited about what is to come at the end of this week. Absolutely. We will figure out who will be Jacksonville State's opponent in the football championship. But there is a lot to talk about around the league. There was a volleyball champion crowned over the weekend. There was a big upset in men's basketball. Women's basketball is in full screen or in full. What am I trying to say? In full swing.
You almost have it.
Yeah. I'm on vacation. And there was a cross-country All-American crowned over the weekend. So we have a lot to talk about, Josh, and I'm excited to get into it.
Yeah. Yeah. I love this just time of crossover. I know it's crazy for us, especially around the holiday, and we're trying to plan a football championship game with all these sports going on. But it really is awesome to have all this stuff going on. And, I mean, just seeing the amount of accolades and just achievements that all of our schools are attaining right now,
yeah,
is just really cool, and it makes it a very exciting time.
It's super fun. Social media, Conference USA social media, there's lots of reposts and big things coming on. We announced earlier today a huge partnership with Rev Entertainment.
Oh yeah.
Going out and selling possibly the naming rights to our league. Big news there. So a lot of stuff going on here at Conference USA, but we're going to talk a little bit about cross-country, men's and women's basketball, and volleyball first, and then we will get into all of the football talk. So like I mentioned before, cross-country, they had some nationals over the weekend, and we have an All-American.
Yeah, and I tuned in for these just because I was like, oh, this is awesome that cross-country is on TV. I don't know that I've ever actually watched a broadcast. The only times I've been around a cross-country championship, I was even, I was working it. Right. So it was really cool to see. It was cold there. I just saw everyone bundled up. And,
yeah.
You could see everyone's breath. But I think that's like the perfect running weather for them anyway. So
I don't know if it is for me, but it might be for them.
For them, sure. But obviously, it worked out well for Middle Tennessee's Alan Kiplagat. He earned All America honors, finished 19th in the field on Saturday, finished the 10K in 29 minutes, 12.8 seconds.
So, wild.
The best finish at Nationals in program history for Middle Tennessee and the best finish by a CUSA student athlete since 2015.
Wow.
So he's obviously had an incredible year at Middle. I believe he's still a freshman,
I think,
too.
You might be right.
Yeah. So an amazing campaign for Allen. Caps it off with some All-America honors. I'm sure he'll be, well involved in track and field coming up, in the next few months as well. But so wanted to give him a shout out. That was awesome. But yeah, you mentioned volleyball tournament in El Paso. It was a very exciting tournament. Jess really teed it up perfectly when we talked to her last time, just what was on the line in that one. And, ultimately Western Kentucky, not that it was any surprise to many of our listeners, ended up hoisting the trophy at the end of it. But really, I think one of the coolest stories was that upset in the semifinals between New Mexico State and UTEP. So you get a big rivalry game in a tournament atmosphere, like nothing you couldn't ask for.
That are out. Huge crowd. It was awesome.
Yeah. And we talked about that with New Mexico State being right up the road, about 50 minutes from El Paso. They showed out for this one and thought, okay, maybe they knocked off the best competitor to Western Kentucky to win the tournament. But Western Kentucky just continues to execute another trophy in the shelf for the toppers, Coach Travis Hudson. So they will be heading to the NCAA tournament. I don't know exactly when their selection show is, but I know it's after the holidays.
Yeah.
They get a little break before the NCAA tournament starts. So stay tuned for that. Obviously, Western Kentucky will be putting something out. We'll be putting something out from Jessica Radford on our team about where they end up in the tournament. I imagine just with where they rank, their prestige as a program, they should get a pretty enticing matchup and should be, guaranteed to at least pick up a win in the tournament and start, surprising some people.
Yep. I mean, those Hilltoppers, we've talked about it before. They are a perennial volleyball powerhouse here in Conference USA. No real surprise that they won another championship. But like you said, the matchup that we were expecting to see in the championship game, New Mexico State went in, upset UTEP, and then they ended up in the finals. But really fun matchups over the weekend. Excited to see the Hilltoppers win another one. And we will see where they are headed and who they'll match up with once they get to the national NCAA competition.
How about Kaylee Cox? She gets no rest from she just finished up a conference tournament, and then it comes out on Monday this week that she was drafted in the Pro Volleyball Federation, which I believe is the new initiative that they're launching for professional volleyball. She was taken with I believe the 16th pick or something of that. So yeah. Super cool honor for her as well. Just to, you know, she hasn't even finished her collegiate career yet. She still has an NCAA tournament to play. She's already been drafted. I don't know, other than maybe baseball, I don't know that anyone,
how that happens,
you know, like gets drafted while they're still playing. You know, I know with baseball, College World Series I think is like the only one that usually falls after the, you know, the amateur draft. Yes. But I felt that was crazy when that came by. Yes,
Haley, you. Yeah, that was we'll put a nice little bow on volleyball here in just a few weeks. Hopefully, though, it's even farther out, because WKU is going to make some waves and upsets there in the NCAA tournament. But good luck to the Toppers, Hilltoppers, and we will see where you end up here in a few weeks. All right, let's flip the page over to basketball. Do you want to talk men's or women's first?
Let's talk men's. Okay. I mean, we're coming off at least, you know, I've been here for a couple of years. I started out covering our men's basketball until this past summer. And I can't, you know, other than FAU's Final Four run, I mean, this was probably one of the better days of Conference USA basketball that I remember. Two massive wins for the league this past Sunday. We start off the day, Kennesaw State knocking off number 24 Rutgers
at
home.
So awesome.
It's so awesome. And it was just so cool for it. Just anytime Kennesaw is doing something right now in their first year in Conference USA, it's just really cool to see how excited they get, how excited the nation, you know, rallies behind that program right now. Obviously, a couple years ago, they were, you know, a team that came out of the A-Sun, was, you know, just a really surprising team, almost knocked off, I believe it was Xavier in the first round of the tournament a couple years ago. But first win over a ranked team in program history. Shout out to the Owl faithful for this one. They had over 3,500 fans in the arena. They were creating an incredible environment, just making it super difficult for Rutgers to kind of stay, you know, in their identity and run the kind of plays they wanted to run. But doing it all behind Simeon Cottle, Jameel Miller played a major role in this win. They ended up sweeping our weekly awards, and really just looking at this one, they won it on the glass, which is awesome to see against a power conference team. You wouldn't have thought that, you know, with a mid-major team, but they out-rebounded them by 19 in this one, had a 22-15 edge in second chance points, just pulling down those offensive rebounds. So, yeah.
Go out.
Hootie-hoo.
Yeah. Let's go, baby. Super excited for that program, like you said. Super excited for those fans. The Kennesaw State fans, the black and gold, they love them some Owls, and it's really fun to see because they're a great pickup for Conference USA as far as fan base goes, for sure. And we just love to see you guys showing up and showing out at those games. So keep it up. Keep it up, Owls.
And take notes, Delaware, Missouri State. For y'all coming in, you know, I know we have a lot of just unique, fun fan bases. The bar is pretty high for you guys. So, and I've seen a lot from both of those fan bases already.
Yes.
Just, and that's really cool in itself too, is just seeing all the Delaware, Missouri State people that are excited for all the things we're doing as a league right now, because they know that they get to be part of that next year.
Yep.
And they're trying to, you know, they're doing their things to build themselves up and hopefully be the ones that we're talking about on the podcast a year from now.
That's right.
Who knows?
Very well said. Very well said. I am excited to get them in the league as well. Big Blue Energy is my favorite.
And so, yes.
All right. And then we cap off the day with Liberty in a big win over Kansas State. So that is the team that FAU eliminated there at the final when they made their Final Four run a few years ago. So CUSA over Kansas State. Sorry, guys.
Yeah. I'm sorry, but yeah, Wildcat fans, if you have a CUSA team on the schedule, you better
watch out.
Yeah, yeah, because apparently that is like their bugaboo. I don't know what it is, but yeah, another huge win for Liberty. This is, you know, it's kind of funny. You have polar opposite kind of milestones here, because this is the first win over a ranked team for Kennesaw State. This was Liberty's ninth win over a Power 5 school, so there are no strangers to big wins. So they knocked another one here. beating Kansas State in the Paradise Jam. Colin Porter led the way for the Flames. He had a huge three-pointer late in this one with about a couple minutes left that really kind of gave them that, you know, that space they needed, you know, the cushion they needed to pull away with this one. Then they went on yesterday to edge McNeese, who was really the, you know, the mid-major darling last year. They were a 30-win team. They were one that, you know, a lot of people were predicting to come away with an upset in the tournament last year. Liberty takes care of business because they made a sweat for it. You're talking myself and Eric Jones, who's our men's basketball SID. He was like, man, they had me on the edge of my seat in that one. So, but ultimately they came out on top of that one, won the Paradise Jam. So this is the second year in a row that Liberty's gone out and won a pretty major MTE. They won the Myrtle Beach Invitational last year with a couple big wins over some notable mid-major programs. So again, just Richie McKay, I mean, his consistency with what he does with this program is unmatched. And Liberty, I believe they're 5-1, 6-1 now. They're on an incredible start right now. So Conference USA basketball.
And that's just,
And you mentioned the Myrtle Beach Invitational, which Liberty won last year. Well, Middle Tennessee made it to the finals of the Myrtle Beach Invitational. They fell to a very good Bradley team ultimately, but to make it even to the finals of an MTE where you're playing competition that you don't see every day in non-conference, Power Five teams, really, really good perennial powerhouses in basketball. Love to see what the league is doing this year so far. And Louisiana Tech, still undefeated, 5-0.
Yeah.
So we are doing some fun things than men basketball right now, for sure. Love to see it. Can't wait to see what things look like in conference play. I talked about it last week. I'm excited for January. Like, this Louisiana Tech Liberty matchup, Middle Tennessee, Kennesaw State, like all these things we've been talking about this morning, they're going to be fun.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, you talk about January just for conference play. I'm excited. As you can see, I purposely wore this sweatshirt just to talk basketball today. I'm excited for Rocket City Hoops again next March, going to Huntsville. I have no idea.
Yeah.
I have absolutely no idea who, you know, and we're really not going to know until we start, you know, shaking teams out with conference play. And I feel like even then, because, you know, you play a team, you go, you know, the home and home schedule through the regular season. Once you've seen a team two times, you start to kind of figure each other out. That third matchup, even if you swept them in the regular season, it takes a lot to beat a team two, three times in a year. So even some of the teams that take care of business in the regular season, anything can happen once you get on a neutral site there in Huntsville. But we'll move on to women's basketball. I feel like it's the same. I mean, the parallels here between just amount of success that all the programs are having. It's not even just like a handful at the top. It is almost everybody from top to bottom. WKU still sitting atop the standings at a perfect 5-0 on the women's side. Four teams behind them with just one loss. When you look at, you know, the non-conference record for both the men and the women, both of them around 67%. So two-thirds of their games, they're coming away with wins. I mean, that is an incredible rate for us, just for any league, for, you know, just across the country. So awesome things happening right now. And even when you get down to some of these other matchups, you know, one that I really loved on the women's side from this past week, Jack State beating giving UAB its first loss of the season, a series that has largely been, you know, in-state rivalry that's been dominated by the Blazers in years past. But now Jack State is like, you know what? No, they've got that CUSA crest on the jersey. It's giving them a little extra boost. You know, the Gamecocks take this year's meeting. And then, of course, we got to talk Middle Tennessee. Their women, you know, they haven't had that, you know, momentous win yet. I mean, they're taking care of business. They're right there as a win-loss team. But they've got a couple of key matchups coming up against Purdue and Iowa State, who's a ranked Iowa State team down in Fort Myers at an MTE Dave coming up this weekend. So should see some fireworks from the Lady Raiders.
Yeah, I think it's exciting. I love how Coach Insel doesn't shy away from competition like this. He goes head on, straight for it. And I'm excited to see how they stack up against some pretty good, like you said, ranked Power Five teams upcoming this week. So we shall see how those go. That is on the Women's Sports Network, by the way, I have found out. We're going to figure out how it is best for you guys to see those games and let you know, because I have no idea at this point. But hey, people watch women's sports these days, so I'm sure that we will make sure that you're able to find those.
Yeah.
All right, let's put a bow on basketball now and head on into football, which I don't even know if you can see it, but I'm wearing my CUSA football sweatshirt.
Yeah, we're ready.
To talk about the football games this week. Obviously, it's casual week here in the office as we head into Thanksgiving.
And if you hear some screams coming from outside, that's just Sarah's kids. She had to bring them up here.
I did.
Since we're all just kind of making it through the week.
Yeah, right now. And I fumbled over my words at the beginning and said I was on vacation. I truly am on vacation, but I wanted to see you guys today. So I came in to record the show, but I brought my kids. So shout out to all of our staff who is rounding around them, helping me out today. I do much very appreciate it. This is a big Conference USA family here. We talk about it all the time. So yes, my two children are maybe
committed to the pod.
Maybe they'll make a surprise appearance at some point. But let's start talking football with what we know.
Yep.
Jacksonville State won this weekend. WKU lost this weekend, which solidified them as the host for the 2024 Conference USA Football Championship down in Jacksonville, Alabama.
Yeah. I think all of us selfishly were a little excited that we were like, all right, we can finally book these flights.
An extra week.
We can start planning. Yeah. Just getting everything sorted out, getting the credential application open, just all the boring stuff behind the scenes that we had to get done.
Yes.
But no, this truly is a testament to what Rich Rod is doing down there in Jacksonville, Alabama. Just another, they're potentially looking at another 9-win season. They've won 9 the past 2 seasons in just their second year in the league, first year of eligibility to even be in the championship game.
Yep.
And they're hosting. Just really incredible. And I'm excited to get down there to see Amherst Stadium because I've heard from a couple of people on our staff that is just incredible. At a very beautiful stadium. They did awesome with the renovations that they did over this past year with their new football facility and just kind of touching up the football stadium. So yeah, I'm excited.
Me too. I think we've talked about this before, but Alabama people in general, people who live in Alabama, they don't have a pro team in Alabama. So college football is king down there. And so, I mean, I kind of expect there's going to be some people in the surrounding areas that don't have anything to do on a Friday night, and they're going to buy tickets to the Conference USA championship game because they want to see a good football game. And so I think the stadium is going to be very full, whether it's full of a bunch of fans or 500 band members from Jacksonville State. I mean, it's going to be great. It's going to be rocking. I'm super excited about it as well. I think it's crazy that we're talking about Jacksonville State maybe getting to 9 wins, because if you look at the way they've been playing, you'd think they're there already. But if they had started the season the way that they are finishing the season, this is, I mean, we're talking about possibly a 10 plus win team there in at Jacksonville State. So I'm excited to see how they do. Of course, we don't know who they are playing yet, which we will get to here in a second. So we can't really talk much about that, but we will do a preview episode next week for the football championship, because this weekend is the last week of the regular season. We will have to have a opponent determined after the Saturday's game. So excited to see where that goes. And they obviously beat Sam Houston, who is one of those teams who we still have yet to see play this upcoming Friday. We'll talk about that here in a minute. But let's talk about the Liberty WKU matchup, because obviously that had some big implications in the fact that Jacksonville State was able to host. That was the one scenario everyone was looking at. All right, this is cut and dry. If Jacksonville State wins and WKU loses, it will be at Jacksonville State. And that is exactly what happened.
Yeah. And really, you know, obviously, WKU had a chip on their shoulder with, okay, they just come off that loss to La Tech. If they wanted to really cement themselves in this game, which they're still in the race for this title game. Again, we'll get to the scenarios later. But Liberty came into this one, and they had the easiest path of anyone. You win your games.
Yeah.
They just had to go 2-0 down the stretch here, and they're in the championship game. And, you know, if you ever thought that Liberty was out of the title race,
Think again.
Of course not. And it just felt like the whole time you're watching this game, like even before they really pulled away in this one, you just felt, you know, they're at home. Again, WKU kind of got punched in their mouth last week a little bit. Liberty, you know, was kind of starting to build this winning streak.
Yeah, and they got their rush game going finally last week.
Yeah, and that was key in this one. 419 rushing yards.
You bolded it and underlined it, and I still don't know if I believe it.
Well, and what's even funnier is, and I think I did this a couple weeks ago when they had like 360 yards. I was like, wow, that's a lot of yards. I need to go see like the last time they rushed for that many. Oh, well, okay. It was like the second to last game of last year against UTEP. So this is just par for the course.
Yes.
We think it's crazy that they ran for 400 yards. Liberty's just like, oh, yeah, that's
just a Tuesday or just a Saturday.
He's almost not same way. And I was like, wait a minute. Hold on. But running back Quinton Cooley, this was just another one that, you know, another incredible performance for him. 166 yards, two touchdowns. Billy Lucas, yep, who has always been a very important part of this run game, is just kind of a complimentary back in that system. You know, that was kind of, again, you talk about just getting that running game going. And I know the broadcaster talked about it in this game, is when they get that two back system working, that's when they're really dangerous. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what they did. Billy Lucas added 131 and a touchdown. Caden Salter, 66.
And then Salter got going too. So, yeah, that was, I think, huge for them. 5-5 in the red zone against the Toppers, third ranked red zone defense. That is so crazy. But yeah. I think the big story in this one against WKU was the turnovers.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. Tops turn the ball over five times. And really, no matter who you're playing, if you turn the ball over five times, there's no way you're going to win a ball game. And, you know, I think we kind of made the same joke when WKU had beaten New Mexico State a couple weeks ago. And it was the same story.
Yeah.
New Mexico State turned the ball over, I think it was five times. WKU capitalized on those turnovers. So unfortunately, this time it flips the script a little bit on the Tops. And helped Liberty to this win. But yeah, again, Jack State over Sam Houston. They get the hosting rights with those two results that happened. Tyler Huff, I mean, you want to talk about someone building a CUSA MVP campaign. this man is doing it right now. I mean, they scored 21 points. Tyler Huff accounted for all, well, I guess 18 of the points. The other three were Garrison Ripa hitting the extra points. But 30 carries for 177 yards and all three of the Gamecocks touchdowns in this one. And then really a much needed showing from the Gamecocks defense against Sam Houston. I know we've talked about how Sam Houston has struggled, but like I said in last week, I expected them to open the offense a little bit more, and that not for a lack of trying,
right?
But unfortunately, fortunately for the Bearcats, Jacksonville State just really came to play in this one, forced a lot of stops on third downs. And just really kept Hunter Watson and that offense off the field in this one. So ends up with Jack State winning. So yeah, it'll be Jack State against TBD next week.
Right.
But we'll kind of talk about a couple of the other games that we had in conference play this weekend,
which were good, and we knew they would be because of the level of competition may be a little bit under what we were looking at for those top four teams in the league as far as like championship implications and things like that. But a lot of them were very evenly matched. Mm-hmm. And so we didn't go over a whole lot in our previews last week, but we were talking a little bit afterwards and we were like, these games are probably going to be pretty close. And they were. So New Mexico State over Middle Tennessee, Kennesaw State over FIU, which is going to be a fun one to talk about. But let's talk about that New Mexico State game a little bit.
Yeah, this was a really big bounce back win for the Aggies. You know, the season's kind of been a little up and down for them, but they pick up their first road win of the season. And that is hard. No matter who you're playing, where you're playing, that is hard to go on the road and win. But Tony Sanchez and crew gets it done in this one. This was just a really fun game to watch. If you were, you know, if you wanted to see an offensive clinic for New Mexico State, Seth McGowan was really doing it all for the offense. 179 all-purpose yards. I think he had like 80 or 90 rushing, 80 or 90 passing, however it ended up breaking down. And then they kind of have this interesting quarterback tandem. You know, they've kind of mixed these guys around. Guys have been injured, whatever the case may be. But Parker Awad was really the quarterback for most of this game, but Brandon Nunez comes in and he has two pass attempts on the day and finishes with two touchdowns. So when they got down into that red zone, kind of, you know, mixing things up, bringing Nunez into the game to, you know, again, just to kind of mix the game plan up a little bit, and he ends up throwing a couple touchdowns. So that was, yeah, kind of a really interesting way to see them run the offense in this one.
Yeah, I think it was fun. People are all about, you know, traditional football. Like, would that have been something that Nick Saban would have done? I don't know. I just love that they said, you know what, we're going to go unique on this one. And obviously it paid off for Coach Sanchez and that Aggie squad. They get another win on the year. I know there are some New Mexico State fans on Twitter They were like, please, for the love of God, just get another win for this season. And they got it for you guys. So obviously Middle Falls in that one. But my favorite game of the weekend, I think, was this Kennesaw State FIU game. It was so fun to watch.
It was, yeah. It was, you know, I kind of, once I was coming down from the early games of just, you know, we knew how jam-packed those first two games would be in the title race and just all the excitement surrounding that ones. And then it's like, all right, I kind of take a breath from those games being over. And then it's like, oh, Kennesaw State and FIU are in a barn burner, right?
Yes.
So Kennesaw State was trailing for most of this game, but outscored FIU 10-0 in the fourth quarter, ends up coming down to an Austin Welch game-winning field goal in the final minute. I mean, these Owls, it is just, and again, they're another one of those teams that are just not indicative of their record because of the way they've played,
right,
and fought in some of these games. So it was really cool to see that, especially with what's going on in the past couple weeks, you lose back-to-back overtime games. You go through a coaching change. I know that Chandler Burks, their interim head coach right now, was super fired up for this win.
Yes.
He was putting on like a Scotty Walden level
show out there. Yeah.
Yeah. But the defense, when you look at the adjustments they made in the second half, I mean, they were letting FIU kind of run their offense at will in the first half, but down the stretch forced five straight punts and then turnovers on back-to-back drives, over FIU's last seven drives. So, and I think of the five punts, four of those were three and out. So, I mean, just completely shut down FIU.
Yeah.
Managed to, you know, kind of switch some things up, change up some things schematically. Cause Kewon Jenkins and Eric Rivers were putting on a show in the first half.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was like, nope, lights out.
Yep. I see a lot of last year's Sam Houston team in this year's Kennesaw State team.
Yep.
Where you're looking at their record and you're looking at how close they've taken games to, but they just couldn't quite finish them out. And you see what Sam Houston turned around and did this year. So we're watching you, Owls.
Yeah,
watching you. Oh. Keep this momentum going into 2025, and we'll see what you guys can do.
For sure, for sure.
So, obviously, Louisiana Tech, UTEP dropped their contest to their Power 5 opponents. We won't stay on those for very long, but we've got some games to preview this upcoming weekend. So, once you get full of turkey and stuffing and whatever your heart desires, which we are still going to do a Thanksgiving food draft, by the way, here at the end, we're going to make sure that that happens. So stay around for that one. But we've got some football games to watch, and we have one on Friday, which is a little bit different for us, I think, as a league. I can't remember the last time that we had a game on a Friday right after Thanksgiving, and I love it. Yeah, I think it's going to be awesome.
Yeah. If you guys need a break from your Black Friday shopping, come home 2:30, pop on CBS Sports Network. You'll catch that one. That's kind of primarily the reason this one got bumped up to Friday. We'd get this on TV. Couldn't have worked out any better that we have this one on Friday on CBS Sports Network.
That's right.
You've got the other most important game of the week in the title race on ESPNU at 3 p.m. on Saturday. So that was just an awesome shout out to our TV partners for setting up the CUP, the Conference USA plan. For a great final weekend. But all right, so we mentioned, we know Jack State is hosting. So now let's talk about who could be playing Jack State in the title game. We'll start easy. Like I mentioned with Liberty, they're in with a win. That's winning in. They're playing Jack State at Jack State on December 6th. So that's the easy one.
So we could know on Friday, everyone.
Could know
that's,
Friday.
That's why it's so important to tune into that game.
Yes. And then So then we'll kind of stay on the other outcome of Friday. If Sam Houston wins over Liberty and Jack State beats WKU, Sam Houston will be in this game, in the championship game. WKU, however, needs a win over Jack State, and they need Sam Houston to beat Liberty just to kind of set it up, because they have the tiebreaker over Sam Houston for
right.
regular season. So that's where we're at.
Yes.
Going into the last week. We'll kind of run through the games here real quick, but just to recap, Liberty winning in, Sam Houston win and Jack State win, WKU win and Sam Houston win.
Okay.
There you go. For all you fans of the respective programs I just mentioned, just pencil those in. That's your watching guide for Friday and Saturday.
Yes. You just made that sound so simple, but like the fact that
a week ago we had 16 scenarios, so I'm more than happy that it is just down to three. Very easy to explain scenarios.
Yes. It is really fun, too, going into the final weekend of the season. I mean, we're glad that the host has been determined, okay? But it's fun to kind of have this up in the air and so much
weight is on these two games. And I just, it's fun to watch.
Oh, yeah.
I love to see it. I'm sure that the squads that are trying to fight for a spot in the championship are like, we would have liked this determined earlier, but it is what it is. I'm going to have a good time watching those games. It's going to be a lot of fun. Do you want to talk about that Friday game first, those two matchups?
Yeah, let's start Friday. So Liberty at Sam Houston, Friday, 2:30 Central Time on CBS Sports Network. Don't be late to this one, because this might be one of the fastest games of the college football season. Both these teams rank in the top 25 in rushing yards per game. Both of them love to just eat the clock. They're both towards the top of the nation in time of possession. So really, it's going to come down to, in this game, who controls the ball and how much time can they keep the opposing offense off the field? Because both these teams, I think, are susceptible to giving up a lot of rushing yards. So, again, it's really just going to be who wins that battle there.
Yeah.
I think, you know, if Sam Houston was unable to slow the run against Jack State this past weekend, there's obvious room for concern with them facing Liberty coming off of 419 rushing yards per game. They've averaged like 360 yards per game when you look at their three-game winning streak going into this one.
Yep, I think that is the key right there, like you mentioned. So I think there are still some things Sam Houston can do to make sure that they win this game. But if they can't stop the run against Liberty, I think they're going to lose it.
Yeah.
So that's how I feel about that one.
Yep. And then on Saturday, 3 p.m. Central on ESPNU, we get right there in the on linear television, right in that beautiful afternoon slot, Jack State at WKU. This one is very, you know, the first game we talked about, that we talked about how similar they are. These teams are just extremely different in their offensive approach. Obviously, WKU behind Caden Veldkamp, a very, you know, pass heavy offense against this Jack State offense, who, when you look at just the list of milestones they've already reached or potential records they could set in the next couple weeks between this game, championship game, bowl game, it is unbelievable. But, you know, I think for Jack State, they're going to need to emulate whatever La Tech's approach was against WKU, because they had one of the, you know, La Tech had one of the better rushing games of the season in that one. We talked about they had almost 40 minutes of possession against WKU. You have to keep Caden Veldkamp off the field if you want to beat them. And that was the same thing happened with Liberty this past week, too. So if Jack State wants to win, that's the key for the Gamecocks.
Yes, I agree. I agree there. I think that I'm excited. I mentioned this a little bit before, but with Hunter Watson and Tyler Huff, but I do think these two quarterbacks do play, I think, a little bit of a different game. Excited to see how Tyler Huff comes out, whether he can get his run game going as well. And I think that WKU's defense is better than what they showed last week, but obviously a rush heavy offense last week is what got them beat. So if Jacksonville State can keep that run game as at a high of caliber as they have been able to, see, I'm on vacation. I kept
you almost started.
If they can keep that run game going as they have over the past several weeks, I think that could be WKU's vice going into the weekend. So, and there's a chance. I mean, it's not that the game doesn't matter. Every game matters. But there's a chance that WKU isn't playing for anything come Saturday. It could possibly have an effect on how WKU comes out and plays that game. So we'll have to see.
And I mean, I think the same could be said about Jack State, right? Because they're not playing for anything in this game either. They already know they're hosting. There's nothing more they can do for their season at this point. So, you know, did they kind of come out maybe not a little complacent, but, you know, Rich Rod may just play a little bit more conservative. He might try to rest his guys, knowing that you do have a quick turnaround for, you know, if one of these teams, you know, is in the championship game, you play Saturday, you have to turn around and play again on Friday.
Right.
Whereas the winner of the Liberty Sam Houston game could potentially get that full week of rest going into the championship game. So, again, just little factors that could play into when you're looking down the stretch of this game. You know, if Jack State is in control, obviously wouldn't be surprised to see a lot of backups in this one.
Sure.
So
all right, let's talk about Middle Tennessee at FIU, which after the way the games went last weekend may end up being another barn burner. Let's see.
Yeah, and I think this one has the potential for a shootout with the level of quarterback play that we've seen from Nick Vadiato and Kewon Jenkins at FIU. But I do really like the matchup of the Panthers passing defense against Middle Tennessee. That has been something, especially in recent weeks, but really all season, has been a strength for FIU, is how they've been able to limit the amount of passing yards. Now, again, that could be primarily because we have a lot of run-heavy offenses
yes.
in Conference USA, but right. even against some teams who have been more pass-friendly, they've still managed to shut them down. And even against a team like New Mexico State, you know, pulling this stat out again, that they only allowed 12 yards of passing to New Mexico State, which is unbelievable. So, FIU at home back in Pitbull Stadium for the season finale, I think I like them in this one. And then we'll go to the next one here. We got two more games at 3 p.m. Central on ESPN+. We'll start with Kennesaw State at La Tech. I don't know why. This just feels like such a fun matchup.
Yeah.
I think it's because we've talked so much about how both of these teams are, again, not indicative of their record because of how well they played in games. Or maybe it's just because I think in all of Kennesaw's games as a first-year member, it's just fun when you have new matchups and you're going places for the first time. It's just a fresh feeling to the game.
Well, I'll tell you, too. We've talked a lot about Kennesaw State at home and how the Owl faithful show up. Louisiana Tech has been very good at home this year. So I'm excited to see Thanksgiving weekend. Maybe some people are home for the holidays there in Ruston and see if they can fill up that stadium a little bit with Bulldog fans. So I'm kind of excited for this one, too. And I think that is really it. We're kind of like hanging on at every Kennesaw State game to see what they can do. But like you said, Louisiana Tech, definitely not indicative of how their record is not indicative of how they have been playing this season. So can they win their final game and keep some momentum going into the next season?
Yep. And then we finish up the slate with a big rivalry.
Yes.
At New Mexico State, this game moves back to Las Cruces.
I hope all of you saw that. I almost caught it. I just want you to...
3 p.m. Central on ESPN+, the 101st meeting of the I-10 rivalry. UTEP leads this one 59-39-2. And this will be the first taste of the rivalry for another two of our first-year head coaches, and Scotty Walden and Tony Sanchez.
Yes.
I know Tony Sanchez. I'll say this strange. See that even on the first taste, first day as a head coach, I should say, for Tony. But should be another good one to wrap up the regular season.
Yeah.
I can't believe we're at the end.
I know.
Well, it's crazy. If you haven't gone and listened to our season previews that we did in the summer for all of our football opponents, football teams. We have 10. We have all of our schools at football. Sorry. Literally, vacation is clearly setting in. But Adam Young from New Mexico State was telling us a story about how he couldn't remember if it was the New Mexico rivalry or the UTEP rivalry, but about how intense Coach Sanchez gets for one of these rivalries.
That was the story where he
came over like bloody and he was like, "Coach, are you okay?" He's like, "Yeah, I'm so excited." So if you haven't listened to that story, go back, find that preview. It's audio only. It's not here on video. But it's a really funny story. And I hope that he gets just as fired up for the UTEP rivalry this weekend. The way that these two teams' records are, I think that this is always a game that you kind of like, who knows, but, there is not one who is, you know, a 9-win team versus one who is a 2-win team or something like that. They're pretty evenly matched. So we'll have to see how this one turns out. All right. That's it for football previews.
Yeah.
So obviously Thanksgiving is coming up. I wanted to do a little bit of a Thanksgiving food draft here with Josh. We'll see who comes up with the best plate. That's what I was doing here over here on my phone, was looking up a list of Thanksgiving foods. So I'm going to sit this in front of us so that we can decide. I wonder what you guys at home.
You'll have to let us know who you think ends up with the best plate here. I think this could get interesting. There's a lot of hot. We talked about this a couple times in the office. Just we're eating lunch in the cafeteria and just leading up to Thanksgiving, like who makes what, and like, oh, does your family do this or this or this or this?
Yeah.
There's a lot of, I don't know what it is about Thanksgiving food.
I don't either. It's polarizing. I agree with you. I'm like not finding very good ones. Here we go. We're just going to go. Okay. Some of these have like salt and pepper on them. We're not going to draft salt and pepper.
Yeah.
Let's just go for it. And I'll see if I can find another one while we're talking.
Okay. All right. So let's go five. We'll go five food items on your plate and then we'll go one dessert. We'll do like a little wild card there at the end.
Okay.
So,
all right. I'm going to write mine down so I don't forget.
Okay. All right. I'm going to let you go first.
Okay. Are we going anything? Or are we going to go like meat and then sides?
Let's just go anything. Let's just build out. Yeah, we'll trade off here. I know.
Okay. I am going to go. I have to have it on my plate. It's Thanksgiving. I'm going to go turkey first. Okay. But it has to be dark meat.
Oh, okay.
And that's my one thing.
That's a good one.
Got it. You're next.
All right. I'm going to go mac and cheese.
Okay.
I think this is like the ultimate. I know there's a lot of classic sides out there, but when I'm just thinking like, and also, you know, with turkey, like the difference to me between a bad turkey and like a good turkey is like kind of small, but like, yes, the difference between a bad mac and cheese and a good mac, like if you have a good mac and cheese, like that could be, that's something that there's a lot more variety.
Okay.
So yeah.
Fine. I don't think that mac and cheese belongs on the Thanksgiving plate.
See, here we are, right?
I'm a classics girl. See, I'm gonna sit here and do my best until you take one of my things to build my perfect Thanksgiving plate.
All right.
So I am going dressing first. Depending on where you're from, I have learned you either call it dressing or stuffing, whether it's stuffed into the bird or not. But we're dressing in my family, so I am definitely going dressing next.
Okay. All right. I'm gonna go. I do like me some turkey, but I don't know if I would say I have to have it, but I do really love ham at Thanksgiving.
I was wondering if you were going to put a protein on your plate or not.
I like ham, you know, in the Thanksgiving dinner, but the best, we chop up the ham. We do omelets like the next couple days after Thanksgiving with the leftover ham.
Yeah.
And that is undefeated.
All right.
So I'm going to go, ham with my mac and cheese here.
Okay. I have a question.
Okay. What's up?
Does gravy count as...
But I thought about everyone that. Everyone gets gravy. That's it. Yeah.
Okay. I'm glad.
I know. Because when I was trying to think about that, I was like, but you know, some people were like, oh, you could do dark gravy or white gravy. I'm like, no. Depends how you're doing white.
No.
Not anyone do.
Unless you're from Alabama, you might be doing some white gravy. Okay. Or some white barbecue sauce with your Thanksgiving. Yep. Okay. I am going with sweet potato taffro. Yep. Gotta have it.
Yep.
So I'm building a really nice plate here.
You do have a good plate.
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to go rolls.
Okay.
You got to have some carbs in there. I love to do like the little, you know, turkey sandwich, little cranberries, you know, kind of build up with a few things. So I'm going to go rolls. They're versatile. Yeah.
Okay. Rolls. All right. Let's see. I'm not going to go double starch on the plate, although I do love Maffredine. that was a really tough one for me. Okay, I'm going to go a little off maybe what's on some of your Thanksgiving plates tables, but it's always on mine, corn casserole.
Okay, I found someone who had done a ranking of their own, and they had corn casserole on its own as like F, like at the very bottom. And I was like, what? I think it's at like almost every one of our houses. I love it. Personally, so,
and my family does two different kinds. So my family, like that I grew up with, they do like the sweet corn casserole. But I married into a Texas family, and they do a spicy jalapeno corn casserole.
Okay, almost like an elote casserole.
Yeah. So I'm gonna put corn casserole and give myself the option to choose whichever one I want.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah. I'm going to go ahead, since luckily you did not go double starch here. I'm going to take the mashed potatoes. It was kind of, they're right there.
There was strategy. I could have gone double starch and then you could have had no mashed potatoes.
Yeah, I would have been out of luck. So I'm going to go mashed potatoes here.
All right. This is a tough one. Does cranberry sauce count as
inside? I think so.
Okay. I'm taking it because let me tell you, although you took the rolls, so this might be a little bit more difficult. I'm one of those people who goes like turkey, dressing, gravy, cranberry sauce, like all together. Some of you out there are thinking it right now, but that's what my family
like when I build out like little sliders with the rolls. Yeah, so, put everything in there. That's the only time I'll have it like all together like that.
Our favorite thing to do is have Thanksgiving sandwiches the day after Thanksgiving with the turkey, the dressing, the cranberry sauce, the gravy, all in a little sandwich.
Yeah,
so good. You can take my rolls on Thanksgiving, but you can't have them the day after. Okay.
that's fine.
All right, that's my five.
All right, and then I'm going to finish it out with, I'm going to go Brussels sprouts.
Okay.
I think that's kind of a newer one.
I was trying to decide if I wanted to try a vegetable or not.
But that's one of the ones we're making this year. We do like a Brussels sprouts and carrots roasted all together with like this kind of like maple, like sweet and spicy, like maple syrup thing on it. I don't know. They're really good.
Okay.
So, yeah.
That sounds good. Honorable mention for me was going to be Brussels sprouts. We make some pretty mean ones at our house.
Are you a green bean casserole person?
I do like it sometimes.
Okay. There's like a running joke in my family. So the one person every year that makes it is my brother. My brother doesn't like green bean casserole. And it was funny because someone was asking, they're like, are you sure you want to make this? And he was like, yes, because it's the easiest thing to make. Like, you literally throw two cans in a pan and then throw it in the oven and you're done. So okay, I was
Bill Green being casserole
come up plate. Like a number one pick in yes. this one. So
not for me. All right, are we going dessert?
Okay, let's go dessert. We go one dessert.
All right, I'm going classic pumpkin pie with a little whipped cream on top.
Okay,
that's what I want.
All right,
that's a big one. My daughter loves pumpkin pie randomly because she hates a lot of other things.
She hates pumpkin pie.
I was less worried about having a lot of steals here because I feel like there's just so many options. Pumpkin pie, yeah, obviously a classic. I'm going to go banana pudding. I don't know that it's super popular, but I do know that at one of my in-laws' houses, shout out Jackie and Jeremy, they make some of the best banana pudding I've ever had.
4th of July in November is what that feels like. Yay. That's it.
And it is a year-round dessert.
It's a staple in your house, huh? Yes. Okay.
So, okay. All right.
I'm going to tell you, though, on my Thanksgiving plate this year, my grandmother-in-law or my step-grandmother, whatever you want to call her, Carol, shout out. Your son, Matt, he's a caterer. He's making us white chocolate bread pudding.
Oh, my God.
And I am so excited. Matt, I'm so excited.
You better deliver. She's building this out big time.
I saw them all last week and I was talking it up and he was like, that wasn't originally on my menu, but I guess it is now. I was like, yeah, thank you. So, well, we had a lot of fun today with the episode. Let us know whose plate you think is going to be best when you see it. But a couple of little housekeeping things real quick before we wrap up that I didn't mention at the top of the show, but you can still find us on YouTube for video and audio. If you're watching us right now, obviously you found us already. Thank you so much for watching. Leave us some comments, like us, let us know how you're enjoying the show. And then if you would rather listen audio only, you can still find us on Apple, Spotify, and Amazon Music. And then if you have any questions or concerns, you can reach out to us at CUSA Insider Pod @conferenceusa.com. And also we are on Twitter, X, and Instagram at CUSA Insider Pod. Go and like us there as well. Leave us some comments about the show. We are really enjoying ourselves here, so much so that we came in on vacation to record an episode for you guys. So you guys, I just hope that y'all have a great Thanksgiving. Go home, spend some time with your family, and then turn the page over to Friday. Go watch some Conference USA football on Friday and Saturday. It should be a fun weekend.
Yeah, absolutely. Happy Thanksgiving.
Yeah, all right. Happy Thanksgiving, everyone. You are listening to CUSA Insider Pod, the official podcast of Conference USA. I'm Sarah Rudolph, and that's Josh Yonas, and we are signing off.